Well, we've talked about the resurrection. Do we talk about this stuff all the time? I feel like we do. We talk about the fact that Jesus died for us and rose again the third day. And so that's what Sunday is. Sunday is resurrection day every week, the first day of the week. But in Acts, we find the Acts of the church, or the Acts of the Apostles, the church as it was growing and expanding and scattering, if you will. That's found in the book of Acts. And what did they do? What example can we find in their service to God so that we might be good servants also? The book is written by Luke, also the author of the Gospel of Luke, of course, the physician. It says, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began, both to do and teach." That former treatise, of course, being the book of Luke. "Until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God." So, what happened? Jesus was crucified. Where did he go? He went to the belly of the earth, to that place that we call paradise. He said to the man on the cross next to him, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." And he went to the middle of the earth, to that place where the prisoners of faith were held, and where those who had rejected God remained. It was divided. Jesus told us about the divide. There was a gulf fixed between the place that was paradise and the place that was considered hell. And, of course, we know about the rich man and Lazarus, how the rich man called a cross and all of that. But that was in the belly of the earth. And Jesus left the cross. He said, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit." And he went to that place. He was not only separated from the Father by being on earth, and of course he had those prayer times, but then he was separated for those 3 days and 3 nights. And he went to the belly of the earth where he preached to the prisoners. That's what the Bible says. He preached to them. Can you imagine Jesus showing up? What a celebration that was. Our keynote speaker, the guest of honor. And they were waiting for him. Why were they waiting for him? Because his resurrection meant that they got to leave that place and go to heaven. And so he went there and he preached to them. And, of course, who was there? It'd be easier to say who wasn't there of the heroes of the Old Testament. Who was not there that was a hero of faith in the Old Testament? Elijah. Moses. Enoch. Those three. Now, of course, Moses died and God buried him. But we know that he was in heaven because he came in the transfiguration to meet with Jesus. And so we have Elijah who was called up and Enoch who was called up and then Moses later. So those three we know were not in that place, but they were with the Lord. And so Jesus goes to that place and he preaches to them, and man, what a revival got started. You know, because as good as it would be to be in that place with all of those heroes of the Old Testament, they wanted to be home with God. And so, of course, Jesus did what? He took captivity captive. And he went and he ascended. Of course, when he said to Mary, "Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to the Father." And then he presented himself before the throne of God where the sacrifice was accepted and received. And, of course, then we have the forgiveness of sins, not by the blood of bullocks and lambs, as was illustrated through the Old Testament to cover sin, but a washing away, a cleansing of our sin. And so unless you have carried your sin without asking God's forgiveness, your sin is, it's gone. It's gone. We trust in Him for the forgiveness of sin, and it's washed away. And so when we hold on to those grudges and that guilt and that shame from the past. Look, we made mistakes. We failed God. None of us deserve heaven. None of us deserve God's love. But God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So our sins are washed away. And then, of course, he did come back that evening and met with the apostles and others that were gathered there of the church, except Thomas, right? Thomas did. He missed that part. And then Thomas did get to see Jesus and put his fingers in the hold of his hand, you know, to see that was really the crucified Lord risen from the grave. And Luke says, by many infallible proofs. And he remained 40 days. 40 days Jesus came back and walked. There was no doubt that was him. We, of course, see him standing on the north shore of Galilee, calling out and saying, "Have you caught any fish?" And John says, "Peter, you know who that is over there, right?" He said, "That's the Lord." And Peter jumped in the water, swam to shore, and sat there with Jesus. And Jesus already had fish cooking on the coals. And so, again, they see Jesus. But by many infallible proofs, he was seen of above 500, the Bible tells us. Over 500 people, 500 witnesses. Now, that's incredible. To know the lie that the government had set up to say that he was not resurrected, but in fact the soldiers had fallen asleep and somebody had come and stolen the body. And people still believe that. But we know the truth of the Lord resurrecting from the grave. And so he overcame that. He was present. Those who knew him best, those who knew his voice, those who knew his presence, they said it was him. Imagine these apostles who gave their entire lives. Look, they could have gone back. In fact, when Jesus found them, when he stood on the north shore of Galilee, why were they there? Because Peter said, "I'm going fishing." And they said, "We'll go with you. What else do we have to do?" And so they went up there. But look, they got busy about serving God. They started churches. They were reaching people. People were baptized. Souls were saved. Lives were changed. They gave their lives even to the point of death. They were not trying to cover up a lie. They were shouting the truth as eyewitnesses. It says in verse number 4, "Being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." And so imagine here they are in Jerusalem. That's not home to them. They don't live there. Their home's up, most of them is up north. And they see Jesus resurrected. What do they want to do? They want to go back and tell their friends and family. They want to go back and tell their neighbors, "Hey, he's alive. He's alive." But Jesus said, "No, you got to stay here. You got to wait." Now, they had waited 3 days in total despair, and he's back from the grave. And now as he speaks to them, he tells them to wait longer. He stays with them those 40 days. He says, "You got to wait longer." Well, how much longer? What's the answer? 10 more days, Pentecost. And so he stayed with them for 40 days. He said, "You just got to wait. Wait for the promise." Let me say this. You don't want to be a Christian. You don't want to try to serve God. You don't want to be in the church without the Holy Ghost. We need God's presence. We need God's presence to witness. We need God's presence to testify. We need God's presence to live this life as a Christian in this world. We need the Holy Ghost. Verse 6, "When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" That's their mindset. Don't forget, they're still believing in a revolution. They still believe that Jesus came to be the king of Israel, not the Messiah of the world. They, you know, everything to them was narrow and just involved the Jews. And we have to be careful. Because we can see what's going on in our country, and we kind of paint the whole world as being like America. And the truth is, we've got it great, don't we? As much as we struggle, this is a great country. I love America. And so we start to see things getting tight here, and we say, "Oh, the Lord must be coming back." Well, just because you're having a hard time doesn't mean God's calendar changes. He's got an appointment, and he's coming back whether things are good or whether things are bad here. He's coming back according to that calendar. And it's set, and I believe it's close. Everything's in place. I don't see anything holding him back except just timing. And so what does Jesus say about restoring the kingdom? Look what he says in verse 7. It is not for you to know the times nor the seasons, which the Father has put in his own power. Is he coming back? He didn't come back. All these people who've said he's coming back, then he didn't come back. When's he coming back? When it's scheduled. It's on schedule. Things are happening. You know, one of probably the best indicators we could go by is the climate change, the global warming stuff. We can see how that's going. And I tell you, that is a good indicator. You know, these hotter days and this extreme climate. Well, haven't you read the book of Revelation? It's going to be extreme climate. And so we're heading in that direction. It's all natural. It's all coming just as God said it would. So we don't need to worry about all that stuff. You know, don't burn tires and don't cut down trees unnecessarily. But, you know, don't destroy the planet. We got to live here as long as we're here. But understand something. We're not going to be able to reverse climate change. We're not going to be able to reverse global warming. It's heading in that direction. Verse number 8. He says, ye shall receive power. 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 By the way, the apostles already had the Holy Spirit. The apostles already had the... Remember when he sent them out by twos in the 70? And he said, cast out devils, heal the sick. He gave them power before they had that anointing that we see as the Holy Spirit of God. And then before he ascended, he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. He already did that. But this was a general. This was not just for them. This was general. To all who would surrender ourselves, submit ourselves to God, and let him have control of our lives. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth. So understand, Jerusalem is where they were, right? He said, wait here. Wait here, Jerusalem. That's where we are. Judah is the region at large, okay? So you say that's the big bend, okay? And then Samaria. Well, Samaria is the region beyond the big bend, if you will, beyond Judea. Specifically, it was to the north, so I guess that would be, you know, Cairo, right? So, but we're talking about just expanding the ministry, expanding the mission, that we're to stay at home. Who's the first one we should tell about Jesus? Tell your family first, right? Andrew first findeth whom? His own brother, Simon Peter. His first brother. Find somebody close to you, your loved ones, your spouse, your children, your brothers, your sisters, your parents, those people who are right there in that nuclear family. Reach them, and then our neighbors, our coworkers, and just keep going and keep going and keep going and keep going. Because we're to be what? Witnesses, he said. Witnesses. Look, these are the people who beheld him. These are the people who touched Jesus. They knew it was him. They knew he was resurrected. But we've got to, look, we have this idea. I believe in missions, so don't misunderstand what I'm going to say. But we've got so many people, and I saw this happen when I first came in the ministry as a teenager. Is these people leaving America, going to all parts of the world to share the gospel. By the way, reporting great numbers, because people are desperate and hungry all around the world. But we've got to reach people here. Well, when they show up there, people know they're a missionary. Well, when we show up here, people ought to know we're missionaries. People ought to know we're ministers and Christians. That's our role. That's what he's called us to do and empowered us to do to the uttermost part of the earth. And of course, that's the mission part. How far are we going to go? How far are we personally going to take this ministry? We've got to get others involved. We've got to get others to go where we're not going. Verse 9, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. A cloud, a cloud, a cloud. Isn't that incredible? The Shekinah glory of God. Moses went to the tabernacle, he couldn't go in because the mist or the essence of God, that cloud was so thick. We see the cloud leading the children of Israel from Egypt to the promised land. A cloud. Elijah was taken up how? A chariot of fire. Jesus ascended up into a cloud. It says specifically, doesn't it? A cloud received him. And he got there. When you go to Jerusalem, you know, they built shrines or tabernacles over all of these, what were declared as historical holy sites. So you don't go, it's hard to find an authentic holy site and say, you know, this is exactly how it is when Jesus was here, because they've erected chapels above almost all of them. And you can go and on the east side, there on the Mount of Olives, they've got a shrine or a temple, a tabernacle, a chapel built there. But they say that's the place where Jesus ascended up into heaven. Well, maybe exactly the spot he was standing in, I don't know. But I know this, a cloud received him. I know when he got finished, look, 40 days of ministry, 40 days of preparing. He had prepared the church for his departure. He said, I'm not always going to be here. And so he prepared them. And Peter said, Lord, don't say stuff like that. You're going to discourage people. He said, get behind me, Satan. I'm not going to be here the whole time. They kept calling for revolution. He said, Peter drew a sword. Jesus said, here, let me put that ear back. That's not what we're going to do. Right? And now he's preparing them to be without him forward. But what did he say? He said, if I go, the Father will send the Comforter, and he shall be inside of you. That we have the divine presence of God. We have God living in us. That means I don't go anywhere, do anything, say anything, hear anything, watch anything in secret. God is always with us. You can't say to God, God, you stay out here. I got to go in here and take care of something. No, you don't. He's in here. And he stays with us. Inside of us. In verse number 10, he's received into a cloud, by a cloud. And they just kept watching. How many of you ever watched a space shuttle launch? What do? We watch, and we watch. We watch, and we watch. We watch. And we see that little, the smoke finally stops, and we keep watching that little bead as it goes out of sight. And here are the apostles, those who are gathered, about 120, and they're gathered there watching him go. And they're just staring. They're like, what's next? But somebody interrupted them. Somebody interrupted their gaze. They're staring, and somebody says, why are you standing there gazing up into the clouds? Look at what he says. Verse number 10, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Was it the same two that were at the tomb? Now, the two at the tomb had shining apparel, right? Which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. He will come in the clouds. I'm looking forward to that day. It may be tonight. I may be dead. It may be 100 years from now. I don't know. Jesus said it's not for you to know the time of the seasons that the Father has appointed. So, look, just let go of that part. Studying eschatology or the, you know, end times, that's fine. No, nothing wrong with studying it, understanding it. It's a great study, by the way, and very interesting. People get interested in that stuff. But if we knew he was coming Tuesday, what would it change? What would it change? You see, the goal is for us to live today like he's coming tonight. Jesus said, if the master of the house had known in what hour the thief would come, he would not have allowed it to be broken into. We've got to be ready. And I pray that you are. Let's stand. Father, we love you. It's our desire to be ready to be received up into heaven. It's our desire to stand before you and hear those words, "Well done." God, we look back at our shame and our guilt and our sin, and we know that we did not deserve the mercy that you have extended. But it is our desire, living in grace, living in Christ, to show others the way of salvation, that they can have in them what we have. Not only the presence, but the love and the peace and the hope. God, give us grace. Touch our bodies. Heal our bodies. Use us this week to make a difference. Forgive our sins. In Jesus' name, amen.